You unlock this benefit with the key of Patreon. Beyond is another dimension. A dimension of thought. A dimension of speculation. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both waffle and substance. Of things and ideas. You've just crossed into the podcast zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Trekking Through the Twilight Zone. Julian and I are working our way through the Twilight Zone episode by episode, and we're getting well into season two now. But Julian, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm about to sort of, I'm feeling all festive for this episode. I've been very festive. We're going to be talking about Night of the Meek, in which a drunk down and out department store Santa is given the opportunity to give back to the community. What was your thoughts on this one?
I like this. Shades of Bad Santa early on.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just a drunk Santa and seeing kids looking through the window of the bar. But it's got, you know, it's not a great episode for sure. It is a Christmas episode and a solid Christmas episode. But damn if it doesn't have a heart.
Mm.
And I really love its heart. What about you?
No, I'm the same. Like, I would happily, but I actually think like, this is going to go into my Christmas rotation. Like, I think I might go back to this one. Yeah, you're right. This is sort of that. There's that Christmas redemption element to it, which I'm always fond of. But also, like I say, this felt like an authenticity to it. Like the fact this guy felt, the thing that drove him to drink was that he felt too much, like the frustration and the regret and, you know, and everything, seeing these kids going without, the poor going without. And he actually points out, like when he points out to the rich woman, that like, basically sort of like, screw you and your wealthy friends. I was like, yeah, wow, this is quite interesting to be sort of throwing this in to the Twilight Zone. But yeah, no, it seemed to have like a statement as well, which I was quite impressed with.
Yeah, and I just love I can sympathize with the idea of being depressed about the state of the world and having compassion for, I mean, for the poor and having compassion for people who are suffering. And it brought me back to a very idealistic place of sort of me as a teenager saying the world is effed up. I don't even know if I want to go to college because, you know, it's classist and racist and, you know, but there is that just sort of, you know, of course the title is about, you know, Jesus and the meek shall inherit the earth. But that's good stuff, right? That's the Sermon on the Mount stuff that we dig. And, you know, I mean, it's heartbreaking to think of people in tenements who have nothing and can't take care of their kids, you know, can't give them anything for Christmas, let alone have enough food.
Yeah. I mean, you say this is very sort of prescient today, but like, and I love the fact this did focus on the kids and there was that thing, but it wasn't just the kids. Like, he has his friends, those guys that are sort of there, are sort of struggling and dealing with, you know, substance and alcohol abuse themselves. And then he goes in and he's like, I've got presents for everyone. Like, this isn't just about the kids. This is about sort of like, no, this is the time for everybody to sort of feel better and to get something back. And so I liked it. So it felt like authentic in our heart, but without being saccharine, which I know these things can sort of fall into. But like, yeah, it just had that moment. And again, like, you know, he's approached it and like his mate comes back to him later on and he's like, you know, how have you spent your evening? He's like, well, I think I've had the best Christmas ever. I was like, it was a really sort of nice moment. You know, so up until that point, you know, it works really well. Up until the very last moment, I say this episode works incredibly well. I know, and I like the little jokes. Like when he's taken to the police station, and the guy who runs the department store, they all think he's stolen all this stuff, and then they sort of find this rubbish in there, and they're like, "Well, you know, if you go, I mean, I'd like this bottle of brandy," and he's like, "All right," rummages in, and then pulls it out, and sort of. So there's even some nice little sort of like, you know, sight gags and stuff that are done in it that are, you know, done quite well. So, I really like this episode.
Yeah, and I like the belief that he's stolen stuff. Right? Mm. I mean, you know, it's. This is a superficially, this is a silly episode about a man who finds a magic bag that lets him be Santa, proverbially, giving stuff away. But then to bring in that real world element of like, yeah, you know, where'd you get all this stuff? And to get questioned by the police, which apparently is just a short walk away from this homeless shelter, soup kitchen kind of place. You know, but it is, I like that sort of like real world element. Like, yeah, if somebody did start doing this, if somebody did find a magic bag, if Santa were real, you know, people would say, where'd you get this stuff?
Well, I thought it was interesting, actually, that the woman that hands him in is the sort of the Christian, you know, leading the soup kitchen and stuff. And so her, you know, there's no superstition or spirituality in that of like, no, this is a miracle. It's straight to, well, I know you're a down and out, and so you stole this. And so I found that even interesting as well, that there was this presumption of guilt from the off, even from the Christian woman that's supposed to be in the homeless shelter.
Well, and that's that classic divide between sort of, you know, Bible-thumping Christians versus people who have charity and the meek in their heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this episode showed it. Like, it's a really interesting, again, like, you know, this is, you know, 1960 sort of, you know, we're getting into that. It's age, really. Again, looking back and going like, no, these things, like this consideration's been around for almost 60 years, yet nothing has been done about it. But yeah, it was interesting.
It is white. It is male, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I can watch this and say, right, you know, it's the sort of like down and out drunk white guy who gets this spiritual gift, and you know, but. You know, it's not like this is really all that sensitive, but its heart is in the right place. And it's just beautiful to see. I mean, you mentioned that discussion on the steps where he says, this has been really great. And it reminds me of the power of giving, the power of loving each other, and how we are healed by being kind to each other, by love and by, you know, the person who is giving gets more than the person who receives the gifts in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And I mean, the one thing is you mentioned how small this set clearly is. Like, it's obviously, you know, quite a small thing. But and that was one of the things that fits into that idea for me. Like, it's because obviously, you know, they've got to take shorthand. You've got to be sort of shown things quite quickly. And so in this episode, the fact that this set is very small shows me that this is a small community. Like, this is a neighborhood within a city. Like, this isn't just sort of like, oh, well, you know, he's trying to cover the whole of the city. Like, no, he, as you said, he's probably covering like two or three tenement buildings and this other thing, sort of like, you know, this is a city block, possibly, really, you know, more than anything else. And so it felt like this was all, you know, like the cop from the station knew him and, you know, he's obviously known as that sort of, as one of the down and outs and stuff. And so it felt closer to me for that, the set building, like I say, it felt more important as well, because it's not just giving in general of like, you know, yes, I can give away. It was that thing of like, no, I can give back to the community in which, like, I exist. Like, you know, this is, that's what's important. You know, it's not just about, you know, like if I was a millionaire or a billionaire, like, yeah, I can give away to charity. It's fine. But like, but then like, but being in that situation and giving back to the community directly, it feels more heartfelt, authentic, and sort of, you know, definitely sort of it pulls at those heartstrings more than if it was done on a bigger scale. Like, if it became Santa and then instantly sort of like flew over the city and gave everybody toys, like, it wouldn't have that same impact.
Yeah, it's that's a good point, that it's small, it's intimate, it's the people he knows. You know, I'm struck by how unlikable he is in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he turns into a really likable guy, especially once he experiences the miracle of being able to give and to help people. And, you know, it is remarkable. I mean, talking about just that heart in the right place, that warm feeling that I have watching this episode, at no point, I mean, of course, I think, like, right, I mean, these people don't have health insurance, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we need some to do something to fix that, right? But at no point does this show ever say or suggest, despite his alcoholism, which he takes the blame for, I mean, he apologizes for, but he, at no point outside of that, at no point is there any indication that these people living in tenements have somehow failed, right? It's their fault, that they deserve the level that they're at and all this sort of stuff that we're used to now. This is, you know, just, you have a responsibility to the poor and you have a responsibility to people who are suffering and have less.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this episode more than most, I definitely felt that with this episode, that there was that leaning of, let's say, a more liberal left-leaning sort of, like, in tone. But I think we've said it before, I definitely have felt that with the Twilight Zone in general, has that sort of, you know, a slightly sort of more liberal leaning, where it will say, you know, like you say, it'll either not comment, you know, like, it won't put anyone down, or it'll sort of have that thing of, like, well, it's not their fault they're in that position, that they've got to learn to live with it, or, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps kind of thing. It's like, no, sometimes we need help, and that's why, sort of, like, you know, we look to these unusual events that may or may not happen to people.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to think of, you know, people struggling in this way and not being able to, you know, give their kids food, let alone a Christmas gift, you know.
Yeah, it was timely watching this, because I've been away this week to London, and so I was watching this on my phone, actually, but in the evenings. But walking through London, in any major city, like, you know, you find this, but walking through London, there's an abundance of the homeless. And in the moment, we're going through a bit of a storm. We've got, you know, it's not like earthquake shattering. It's a British storm. It's a European storm. It's not quite the level, but, you know, trees knocked over and some damage done. But I'm still at home, and I felt this again watching this. I'm in a hotel, or I'm at home, secure, you know, warm, you know, with enough supplies. And even if I was to lose electricity, I'm still like, yeah, but I've still got a shelter over my head. I've got extra clothes I can put on. You know, there are people, and it did make me think, like, there are people living out there covered by cardboard.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, difficult, because you want to sort of engage with one of them, but it's sort of like, you know, and this sounds awful, but, like, that, where is that line? Like, you know, you can spiral then to be like, you know, I've got to help all of them, but it's difficult. But it is, you know, it does help you realize, or it makes you realize, that, you know, it's fine to see someone you identify as being homeless or in, you know, in difficult situations on a lovely warm summer's day. Because you can go, well, it's dry, it's whatever, you know, I'm sure they'll find some shelter. But when it's absolutely lashing it down, or it's snowing, or it's Christmas Day, you know that there's a much greater impact to that situation.
Yeah, it's humbling. I mean, I think that if nothing else, it gives us an opportunity to be grateful and find the humility in our hearts to be thankful for the luck that we've had in our life. I mean, I do have a kind of German view of, you know, of this, which is, this is the state's responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've given people, you know, food and, you know, when they've asked, and money when they have asked, but I'm not some big charity guy, but, you know, we live in prosperous Western countries that should not have big homeless problems, and that both do.
Yes.
What did you make of the ending?
Hated it. Go?
Like, so, I mean, just to clue listeners in, he has this bag, and then he sort of hears the bells and wanders off and sees a sleigh, and then sees an elf, and has the opportunity to do exactly what he wished, which is to do this every year, and become Santa for real. And then he flies off, and the other two characters, the cop and the
store
manager, store owner, sort of look up and, isn't that Mr. Henry Corwin flying in that sleigh?
I've seen that as an endless joke in Christmas films. You know, someone who's been drinking sort of sees the Santa in the sleigh and then looks at the bottle they've been drinking from and pours it away or takes a bigger swig or whatever. The thing is that this episode has the perfect ending and then goes on. Like, the moment it focuses on, he says, like, that's given me the thing I wanted. I've had the best Christmas ever. I've given these things. And he just leaves the bag by the bin. And then the camera sort of focuses in on this bag. And I was like, that's a great ending. Because, you know, I don't know whether this is going to be, is this going to be a life-changing moment for him? I don't know. Like, how it leaves it slightly ambiguous. And I'm all happy with that. And then you turn up to this bright, you know, it's black and white, but this clearly colourful sleigh. An irritating elf who's sort of like, you know, who's just jumping all over. It was a real disappointment that they decided to go with this as an ending.
Yeah, I don't think I hated it as much as you did, but yeah, I mean, it is sort of gilding the lily. I mean, I can see why it would appeal as sort of like, let's take this story further, let's have another twist. But if the magic bag that turns from cans to, you know, whatever anybody asks for isn't enough, let's go further and have everybody doesn't notice the sleigh. And, you know, there's just an alleyway with a sleigh in it. And then he flies away. I mean, how, I don't know. I mean, is it wrong for me to ask, like, how is it? I mean, is this sleigh equipped with VTOL rockets or something, like, you know?
Well, you get all it's the magic of Christmas, but then you get the thing of like, how come he gets to be, is there one at the moment? Is he taking, is this like the Santa Claus? Is he taking somebody else's place? Is he adding into a roster of Santa's? Like, I don't know what it just feels so tacked on. When I felt that sort of like the heart and everything of the episode was with this bag, and the fact that he chose to leave it behind sort of felt like the bittersweet ending that I thought the episode would have, like, if it had ended on that moment, I was like, that's great, that's a fantastic episode. But that extra minute or so, I was just like, oh, damn it.
No, like, I perfectly agree with that. And that would, we were both touched by that speech, you know, and that would have been, you know, you could do a little more with that. You could do, you know, a little more with these children, you know. I mean, how sad is it to have a child say that what he wants for Christmas is a job for my daddy, you know? Wow. I mean, you could do a little more with that stuff and end on that note and fill out the time and we'd be quite happy. And I agree with you, it would be stronger without that, you know, that the elf and the sleigh.
Yes, without the Will Ferrell ending.
what you don't realize is that, you know, the last Santa just died in a brutal knife incident. and so he needs to be replaced. Yeah. Up there, they get Santas from all over the world. And they put them in a pit and make them fight to the death.
Who's gonna deliver the presents this year? It's like the start of Conan. It's like the start of Conan the Barbarian. what is good in life?
Yes. Right. Well, you know, you've got to have a good constitution to be Santa. So
very true. Anyway, we shall end on that note. But that was a Night of the Meek. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening and supporting the podcast. And we shall be carrying on our trek through the Twilight Zone in the next episode.